Hi everyone, my name is John Henriquez.
I'm Julia Shree.
And we're here today to talk about creativity in mathematics. I'm a math major, and Julia's going to be talking to me, getting to learn a little bit more about how creativity takes place in the world of mathematics. And so she was going to just ask me some questions about it.
All right, so to get started here, how would you say creativity in mathematics is generally defined?
So that's like a really good question. And creativity in mathematics is really something that's been progressing over time. There's not a definitively set definition that's currently being used, but one was proposed by Schliemann in 2006, and it's particularly stuck with me. Dr. Schliemann defined mathematical creativity as actually the collection of four different definitions. Schliemann defined mathematical creativity as first, the ability to produce original work that extends what we currently know about mathematics. Then also the ability to generate new mathematical questions. Third, the process that results in new or insightful solutions to a given problem. And fourth, the formulation of new questions or possibilities that allow an old problem to be regarded from a new angle. So there's a lot of different ways in which creativity can be defined or creativity can be utilized in the world of mathematics. But I actually wanted to get the perspective of some other math majors in there and see which one of these four definitions was the most relevant to undergraduates. So I actually went up and I talked with a JMU math major who's also a quantitative finance major, and he's actually a pickleball legend. His name is Ryan Morneau. And I asked him which of these four definitions is the most prevalent in your undergraduate career so far. He actually answered the fourth definition, saying that the formulation of new questions and/or possibilities that allow an old problem to be regarded from a new angle was the most important in terms of undergraduate creativity in mathematics. He feels that when he solves problems, there's always a way to create a new solution, even though almost every problem he has already has a solution. So he's basically saying that the way in which he gains his creativity is by making new solutions, subtle differences to already existing solutions to problems that he already knows. A lot of times, because he's been doing in calculus and most of the undergraduate or deeply enriched proof courses, he's doing a lot of the still more algebraic courses, so he's focusing a lot on modifying his proofs compared to those that have already been done. He thinks that undergraduates can make complicated problems simpler, and he really thinks that in years to come, the methodologies in which professors are teaching students, especially in these lower courses like calculus 1, 2, 3, differential equations, number theory, the way in which he goes about those. A lot of those proofs will be basically maximized in terms of efficiency because of all of the new creative ways in which undergraduates are creating new methods. Because the more people we have solving these problems, the better ways and the more efficient the proofs become. And every proof that an undergraduate does is what he's saying is that it's different from the other ones just slightly, and he finds that to be a really creative process for him.
Wow, that is definitely some interesting insight there. So what would you say, are the thought processes involved in mathematical creativity?
So there's definitely a lot of thought processes, but according to Balca from 1974, listed in Mann's 2006 paper, there's actually two main types of thinking involved in mathematical creativity. They both impact creativity, and they are convergent and divergent thinking. Convergent thinking is characterized by determining patterns and breaking from established mindsets, while divergent thinking is defined as formulating mathematical hypotheses, evaluating unusual mathematical ideas, and sensing what is missing from a problem, also splitting general problems into specific subproblems. I wanted to know what undergraduates thought were more relative or more important for creativity in mathematics as well. And the answer I received actually shocked me. I had premeditated on this question, which is more impactful for creativity, convergent or divergent thinking. And just looking at my undergraduate career, I felt that I utilized convergent thinking more. And so I thought that I would have had more creativity through convergent thinking. But I actually talked to my good friend, longtime roommate, Seth Walter, who is a math minor and also a computer science major. And he actually thought that divergent thinking was more important for his mathematical creativity. He described that he would frequently find himself seeing that something was missing from his problem, a divergent thinking process. And he would have to use his unusual ideas and random thoughts to be able to solve these problems. He actually was someone who did not like to use the base formulas and the base systematic ways of finding problems. He really liked to try and look at the problem at face value, you know, oftentimes ask himself the question, what is missing from this problem? When he would find what was missing, he would then try and build around that to figure out what wasn't missing, instead of just going through the standard step-by-step processes that you're typically taught, which would have represented convergent thinking. For Seth, finding consistent patterns wasn't his way of thinking, and he felt that his divergent mindset is what has allowed him to be more creative than most other students in his undergraduate career. And I personally agree with that. I feel like I have obviously embraced a convergent mindset way too much. I feel like I am just always focused on honing in on the patterns that I've been taught for previous problems. And Seth took a different perspective and was just like, I'm not going to use any of these previous perspectives. I'm going to make up my own. And he's really think that's helped him in his proof writing in terms of being different from everyone else.
Really interesting. So kind of building off of that, I guess, how would you say that you found for yourself or that other math majors go about taking risks in terms of creativity in mathematics?
Yeah. So when it comes to taking risks, I personally think that there's a lot of risks that can be taken when it comes to proof writing. There's a lot of different ways to construct proofs. And for me, you can oftentimes start a proof with methods that you're uncomfortable with, and it'll guide you in a direction that may not be suitable for you, but you can oftentimes find really enriching results when you go about that. I also went up to one of my fellow students, Sarah, who's in my elementary number three class, who's also a math major. She's a junior right now. And I asked her, how do we take risks as undergraduates? And how do you feel that you personally take risks? And what she said is that for risk taking in math, she felt that it was when people go out of their comfort zone. And she meant this in both a general perspective and a narrow perspective. She meant it in terms of risk taking when it comes to classes. She felt that taking classes that you don't feel comfortable going into can really help foster your creativity, because it can really open up different perspectives in mathematics that you weren't originally attuned to. For example, if you're scared of pure mathematics and you're only a hard mathematician or an abstract mathematician, then taking a pure course may actually help you enhance your creativity in those more abstract courses. She said that taking those harder courses will definitely push people to succeed more. Risk-taking in mathematics doesn't always necessarily mean it's done to achieve a goal, but she thinks risk-taking can lead to success if hard work is involved. She also thinks that risk-taking is important when it comes to trying to solve different types of problems. Some problems you can't just solve systematically. You're going to have to solve problems in ways that are uncomfortable for you. And in those ways, she's finding that taking those risks can sometimes actually foster creativity in mathematics.
Right. Sounds like you got a lot of great feedback from fellow undergraduate students, but what about professors and their takes on creativity in mathematics?
Yeah. So I was actually really interested about this one because my perspective as an undergraduate in creativity, I thought would be vastly different from that of a professor. So I actually went up to my current elementary number theory professor. His name's Dr. Webb. And I was talking to him about, what does it mean to you to be creative in mathematics? And the first thing that jumped to his head, actually a line pretty similar to mine, which was writing proofs. He said that writing proofs in and of itself is just a naturally creative process. He was saying that you can do calculations with work to work out examples before you actually go through proofs. And so you think that the proof is going to work, but the process itself of actually developing a formal proof is a super creative process. You have to look for patterns from previous proofs, but the reason why a new proof is different is because there's always some subtlety that makes it unique. So you can ask yourself questions like, what are the steps I need in this proof? Or how does it all come together? But the way in which they come together is always different from previous proofs that you've done. And so you actually have to use creative problem-solving processes to enable these proofs to work well. He actually said a very, very intelligent line that meant a lot to me and hit me at home. I'm going to quote him exactly. He said that it's like not every painter reinvents painting. They just build on the techniques, which is just like what mathematicians do in terms of proof writing. And I really find this one to be hitting me at home, because it's true, every painter, the way in which they paint paintings, yes, they're beautiful and they all look so vastly different. But when you really think about it, they're not reinventing the technique, they're reinventing how they apply the techniques. And it's a similar kind of way in mathematical proofs, and that we're given these questions and there's definitely an already well-known solution. There's already, just like there is already a really good painting already out there, But the way in which we use previously techniques to create a different proof, the same way a painter would construct a slightly different painting with their own take, is very, very related. The way in which we write proofs just doesn't come from scratch. We have to put previous things together in a new way. So he was really big on your creative part of math is developing new methodologies from previous ones.
All right. Sounds really interesting. Sounds like you got a lot of different perspectives there.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to do some research on what kind of how other people are defining mathematical creativity, and how people are thinking creatively out there, and then actually asking people on their perspectives from what these more well-developed researchers who have defined these definitions to be. It's really been a really cool process. So thank you for listening to me. My name is John Enriquez on the Creativity Insights Podcast, and a huge thank you to Julia for interviewing me here after I had gotten a lot of information. A huge shout out to Ryan, Sarah, Seth, and Dr. Webb for their very insightful and enriching feedback to all of my questions. So thank you.